Right, we're holding on page 90 in Shabbos, or Samach Tes, beginning Habona Perek Shneim also. The subject of the Perek is a number of the other Malachas of Shabbos. In the middle of the Perek, there's only a couple of Mishnayos in the Perek, but one of them talks about the dinim, a few of them talk about the dinim of writing on Shabbos. It's one of the 39 Malachas, so dealing with the parameters of what exactly is considered that Malacha. So one thing the Mishnah mentioned, the minimum amount the person is chayav for writing is two letters, and the Mishnah mentions you can have a case where you have a longer name which incorporates a shorter name in it. For example, you have, let's say, the name your person intended to write the name Nocher, but he wrote just Nun Ches. That already is a name, Noyach. So therefore, you can be chayav for that alone because it's a meaningful word. So the Mishnah gives a few examples of that. Some of the examples the Mishnah gives are ones that involve a regular letter versus a final letter. So the Mishnah says, for example, a person wrote Shin Mem, intending to write the name Shmuel or Shimon, and he writes Shin Mem, which is a name by itself, the name Shem. So then the Gemara deals with the question. One second, one's a regular Mem, one's a Shlos Mem. They're not the same thing. So the Gemara discusses maybe to a certain extent they're interchangeable. Maybe you can substitute a regular letter for a final letter, like in that example you wrote an open mem, meaning because you're intending to write the name Shimon, for example, and there's supposed to be a final letter to write the word Shane, and nevertheless that would be kosher. And so the Gemara gives as an example, Tanya, we learn in a Braiser, of Yehuda ben Deseraim, name of a Shane ben Iskehem, in the Korbanos of Sukkos. So every day it talks about you have to bring X number of Korbanos, and you have to bring their Minchosim in Iskehem. So most of the days it says that you have to bring Minchosim in Niska. But on the second day, it says niskehem in the plural with an extra mem. Bashishi unsacheha. On the sixth day of Sukkot, instead of niska, it says unsacheha, implying with an extra yud. Bashvi kamishpatam. And on the seventh day, instead of all the other days, it says that you bring them kamishpat according to the usual rule. Here it says kamishpatam according to their usual rule. So hare mem yud mem. So you have an extra mem yud and mem. Mikan remez the nisuch mayim in atura. So here we have a hint in the Torah for the concept for the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. The Gemara elsewhere brings different other opinions about that. There's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that it's actually Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, and there is no remez for it in the Pasuk, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is saying that we have the remez for it in those letters in the Pasuk. The point being, in other words, the Gemara is saying, now the first mem is the first mem of Niskehem. It's written in the Torah as a Shlos mem, but we're darshaning it as an open mem. So therefore, you see that an open mem and a shloss mem to a certain extent are interchangeable. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara goes on with the discussion about it. Marsha mentions, by the way, he refers over here to what he says in the Gemara Tainis, where the Gemara also brings this Jerusha. One point he makes over there is that on the seventh day. So why do we have in the first two the changes in the word veniska, that it becomes veniskehem and sacheha, which that's logical. We're talking about nisuch, we're talking about pouring a libation on the mizbeach. So the Torah is hinting at there's not only the regular libation of wine, but also on sukkos there's also water. What about the why on shvi shall pay why on the seventh day on a shana rabba instead of putting it in the word kimishpatam? And he says, because after all, the mishpat, the judgment of Hashem on the world, how much rain they're going to have, takes place during Sukkot, and it's completed on the seventh day on Shana Rabba. Therefore, appropriately enough, that last letter to make up the word Mayim is put in the word Kamishpat, which becomes Kamishpatam. Anyway, the Gemara goes on with the discussion. So the Mechaber, the compiler of Ein Yaakov, Rav Yaakov ben Chovev, adds over here, I have to write the little line on the top of page Mem Vav. I have to write over here a little bit of the sugya of the Gemara in order to incorporate the ones that are the Agadza. So he's gonna have to put in a little bit of the Halacha discussion of the Gemara in order for the following part to make sense for us to be able to understand. So the Gemara goes on to say, "Umi de pasuach vaso sosim kosher." Given that we're saying that if you're supposed to have a letter that was supposed to be open, for example, a regular mem, and instead you wrote closed as a shloss mem, then apparently it's kosher. Like we're saying, in other words, that the mem of the mem of the word mayim, which would be normally an open mem, instead in the word veniskehem, it turns into a closed mem, and that's fine. Then we would assume also sosim, and then we would assume that, or we would assume the other way around, sosim nami, sosim vasoi, pasuach kosher. The flip side should also maybe be true, that if you have a word that is supposed to be written with a shloss mem, and instead you wrote it with an open mem, then it would be kosher. So that would... The fascist, the Gemara is talking about for a Sefer Torah, for example. The halacha is not like that in the end, but the Gemara is hypothesizing that maybe that would be the case, and therefore that would explain again what the Mishnah is saying about the case where the person writes the letters Shin and Mem, and he's chayev for writing a complete word, because that spells out the name Shame, even though it's an open Mem as opposed to a closed Mem. But the Gemara says, me, dummy, how do you compare them? It's not the same thing at all. Pasuach v'asoy sosum. If you have where there was supposed to be a regular mem, and instead you wrote it as a closed mem, as a shloss mem, then that's actually improving it. Aluye koma alilei. It means you're making an improvement to it. You're making it, so to speak, a more important letter. The Omer of Chista mem the samach shabaluchos v'nesho yoyimdim. Because Rav Chista says that in the luchos, now the letters in the luchos were carved all the way through. Now a mem and a shloss mem and a samach have that open space in the middle, which if the letters are carved all the way through, b'derech hateva, that piece would fall out. So therefore, instead, but there was a nest, and they stayed in place. So you see that there was a special nest involving that letter on the luchos, and therefore it makes sense to say that in a place where you're supposed to have a regular mem, if instead he wrote a shloss mem, you could say, so to speak, you've upgraded it. So at this point, also, the Gemara is assuming, Rashi explains, that all the mems in the luchos, now you have mems throughout the Aseret Hadibros. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that at that time, when the Torah was given, there was only one form of mem, and then, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, this is the other form was created only later. Now, if Rav Chista is telling us that the mem, that the middle of the mem stood there, the derech nes, he has to be referring to a shloss mem, rather, because with an open mem, there's no particular nes that's attached to the outside of the letter. So the space around the outside. So therefore, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that to replace a regular mem with a shloss mem would be an upgrade because you're putting the form of the letter as it was found on the luchos. El sosim vasoi pasuach, but you should ask the other way around. On the face of it, if you were supposed to have a shloss mem and instead you put an open, mem, like when you're writing shin mem and it stands for the word shame rather than the beginning of the word shimon, on the face of it, garuei kamagarele. Aren't you down to downgrading it? The Omer of Yumiya, the Tamer of Chiyah Ba'aba, Man Sapach Soifim Omrim. Because Rav Yumiya, or some say Rav Chiyah Ba'aba, said the different forms of the five letters, Man Sapach, Mem Nun, Pei, Tzadik, Pei, and Chof, the fact that each of them has a different form in the middle and at the end of the word, Soifim Omrim, Soifim, which means the Nevi'im, said that. They were the ones who established that it should be done that way. So in other words, again, the Gemara is assuming at this point that to begin with there was only one form of each of these letters, and at some later point the Nevi'im created the other form of these five letters. So therefore, that would mean that, so if we assume then that there was only, that all the mems on the luchos were shloss mems, then to put in a regular mem would be a downgrade because you're putting in a form of a letter that was invented only later by the Nevi'im. Rashi points out that the Gemara in Megillah, which also discusses this point, seems to understand it differently. Seems to understand that Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba is also referring to the final forms of these letters. That he's saying that that the final forms were invented by the Nevi'im, or as the Gemara is going to explain soon, were reestablished by the Nevi'im, as the Gemara is going to talk about in a minute. So, but here the Gemara seems to be assuming that Rav Yirmiyah or Rav Chiya Ba'aba is talking about the open forms of the letters, the ones that you have in the middle of the word. So Rashi says, not a big deal. The Gemara will often do that. The Gemara wants to be able to ask the question and be able to clarify the thing, and therefore the Gemara sometimes in one sugya will take one approach to understanding an amorta, and in another place it'll take an opposite approach wherever you can get a good question and answer out of it. Tosfos over here and in Megillah talks about it further and says there's a different way that you could understand the Gemara there in Megillah, that it fits with the same assumption we're making over here, that Yumi or Chiya Ba'aba is talking about the open forms. Marsha further talks about it over there, and then Chedusha Alochas over here. Anyway, the point is, was saying that right now we're saying that there, that originally each of these letters only had one form, and right now the Gemara is assuming for purposes of this discussion that the one form was the closed form and the open one was invented only later. Tosfos points out, by the way, why is he using man sapach? Why isn't he putting them in the order? Thoth, mem, nun, etc. The reason is because the word man sapach suggests the word min sofayich, which means from your seers, from your neviim, because it was brought into use by them. But the Gemara asks the Tispara, how could you possibly think that that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba means, that the Nevi'im actually invented new forms of letters? The Pasuk says, the last Pasuk of Chumash Vayikra and the last Pasuk of Chumash Bamidbar says these are the mitzvahs, which implies She'en Navi Rashoi L'chadish Gavamata. A Navi is not allowed to come up with any new mitzvah. This is in Rambam Perek Echad not so long ago, and I believe it's coming up in Shloisha Prokim, that a Navi has no right to declare, because of his Nevuah, a certain halacha. As a Talmud Chacham, all the Nevi'im, of course, are great Chachamim, they have the right to analyze the Torah and come up with Takonis and whatever, just like any other Chacham, but from Nevuah, from the point of view of Nevuah, not. Maharsha mentions, by the way, so why do you have these psukim specifically at the end of Vayikra and Bamidbar? Is because those are the books that have the main mitzvahs. Vayikra is the one that has the largest. Vayikra has over 200 of the mitzvahs. Bamidbar is the last of the first four chumashim. Devarim is already mostly Moshe's repetition of what went before. So therefore, in those two places, the Torah is stressing that it's not for later Nevi'im to invent anything new. So you can't say they invented new forms of letters. So Ella, okay, so you have to answer mehava havari. So you have to answer that both forms of the letter did exist. So now the Gemara is taking back then the assumption before that there was only one form on the Luchos. Now we can assume that both forms existed. The loy havu yadin heba emsa heteva heba soif teva, but they didn't know which ones were meant to be put at the beginning, were meant to be put in the middle of the word and which at the end of the word. So they were using the both forms of mem and both forms of chaf and so forth indiscriminately. But also tsofim takninu, and then the tsofim, which is the nevi'im, came and fixed that as a permanent thing, that you have one form for the beginning of middle of a word and a different form for the end. But the Gemara is still vakati. Still, you have to ask the same thing. Even that, a Novi is not able to come up with something new. This is negeya la halacha. After all, the ultimate halacha is that if you write in a Sefer Torah of a shloss mem where there's supposed to be a regular mem, or vice versa, and the same thing with all the other final letters, then the Sefer Torah is possible and it has to be corrected. So you can't say that the Nevi'im came up with that takana. Ella, so rather we have to answer Shachum because Rabbi Yisrum. The answer is the Jewish people forgot which one is supposed to be used in which place, and then the Nevi'im, the Tzoytim, reestablished that this is how it's supposed to be. Now, of course, you have the obvious question, and people are writing with the Aleph Beis all the time. How do you possibly forget such a thing? So there was an interesting explanation that a number of Rishonim and Uli Achronim talk about this at great length. There's a relevant Yerushalmi on this. There's a lot of different sources on this. There's one of the volumes of Torah Shlema has a huge section in the back that discusses all of this. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions, besides for Ksav Ashuri that we're familiar with, the letters that are used to write a Sefer Torah, besides that, you have a different script that was used for Lashon Kodesh called Ksav Ivri. The Gemara calls it Ksav Ivre, and also calls it Ksav Libuna. They found a number of different writings and inscriptions from the time of the first Beis Hamikdash that use it. They have coins from the time of the second Beis Hamikdash that use it. Anyway, the idea, so different Achronim talk about it. Anvaz has a tshuva about it. The Maharal discusses it in one of his Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, and so on and so forth. Either the idea is that part of the idea is that Ksav Ashuri was meant to be used only for Dvorim Shebekdusha. It wasn't meant to be used for mundane writings. So therefore, all the writings that they found, all the coins from the second Beis Mikdash, and all the writings that they found from the first Beis Mikdash, which are all mundane things, were all written in Ksav Ivre. So therefore, on a day-to-day basis, your average person may not necessarily have come across Ksav Ashuri unless he's learning from a Sefer Torah. And based on a Yerushalmi, there's an explanation that even already the second Luchas were written in Ksav Ivre. The first Luchas, according to that, would have been written in Ksav Ashuri, but the second ones already, where the Jewish people on a lower level, already would have been in Ksav Ivre. And according to that, then, the idea would be, the Gemara brings such an opinion in Sanhedrin, that from when the Torah was given until the times of Ezra, almost 1,000 years, even the Sifrei Torah were written in Ksav Ivri. Now, in Ksav Ivri, the Gemara brings a different opinion about that in Sanhedrin that says that the script for Sifrei Torah was never changed. But anyway, according to that first opinion, that they were using Ksav Ivri the whole time, and Ksav Ashuri was known only to the Chiddush Sgula. In Ksav Ivri, there's no difference between, there's no two forms of Mem, there's no two forms of Chaf, and so forth. So therefore, they may have to have forgotten over all that time that there exist two forms and that one is supposed to be used in one place and the other in the other place. So either, again, there existed all that time Sifrei Torah with that distinction, but the average person may not have come across them, or even that there didn't exist Sifrei Torah like that. There were only maybe special Sifrei Torah, maybe like the one that Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe like the ones that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote at the end of his life, or whatever, that had that distinction, until there came the beginning of the second Mishnah. The Gemara tells us then it was established by that from then on you use Ksav Ashuri exclusively for writing Sifrei Torah and for writing other Dvarim Shebekdusha, and from then on then that's what we mean, that now with Sofim we clarify for people which form of letter is supposed to be used in which place. Anyway, so we can still say Mansapach Sofim Amrum, but now the Gemara is going back on its original assumption that there was only one form of Mem originally, and that form was the exclusive one that was used on the Luchos. No, in fact, both of them were used on the Luchos, at least on the first Luchos, and later on it was forgotten which one is which, and the Sofim only reestablished it. Okay. The Gemara says Gufa, getting back to, we said, Omer of Chistam Mem the Samach Shabaluchas Vinesho Yoimdim, that the middle of the Mem, of the Shloss Mem and the Samach, wherever those letters were written on the Luchas, was stood there B'derach Nes, because the writing went all the way through from one side of the Luchas to the other. So those pieces, again, would have fallen out, because they're not attached to the outside of the letter at all, except that they stood there B'derach Nes. But Omer Rav Chista also says, Ksav Shabaluchas Nikra Mifnim V'Nikra Mibachutz. The letters in the Luchas could be read from the front side and also from the back side. Now, what it would mean is, the letters, now like this, if they're carved all the way through, you would think, when you're looking from the back side, you would see them as mirror image. So Rav Chista is going to tell us, no, B'Derech Nes, the letters appeared in their forward form. So an aleph still looked like an aleph, not like a backwards aleph, and the same thing with each of the other letters, but the words were written backwards. The words, instead of being written right to left, as Lashon Kodesh is supposed to be written, instead the words were written left to right on the back of the luchos. Keep going, and he gives examples. Nevuv, if for example, the luchos had the word nevuv written on them, then instead, if you read it from the opposite side, you would have the word buv on. So you'd have the nun would be in last place instead of in first place, but it would look like a nun, not a backwards nun, and the same thing with each of the other letters. That was the nes. Similarly, rahav, if it was supposed to say the word rahav, then you would see the word bahar, or the other way around. It says Yad Yosef brings that it's supposed to be the other way around, bahar, then it would say rahav, because the word bahar is found in sukkim. Similarly, if it said soru, then instead from the back you would read it viros. So that Marashah explains, in other words, the significance of it is, the Gemara is going to talk about soon, about the significance of the order of the letters of the Aleph Beis, and not only the actual order, but also the various transpositions of the orders of the letters are also very significant, as the Gemara is going to go on to Darshan. So therefore, now also, what the Gemara is saying is, the fact that each word in the Luchos could be read backwards from one side and forwards from the other side also has great significance. Now, why is the Gemara using these words Nevuv, Rah, Bahar, and Soru? So Rashi says that you don't have these words in the Aseret Dibros, you don't find them on the Luchos. The Gemara is just using words at random. Tosfos, in fact, wonders, well, in that case, why is he using words at random? There are a couple of Achronim who give explanations. The Mitzvah Esam, the back of the Gemara, gives an explanation. The Meshech Chochma gives a somewhat similar explanation. The word Nevuv means empty or hollow, like you have. It says about the Mizbeach, it was Nevuv Luchos. It was made of boards with a hollow space in the middle. Bahar means on the mountain. Soru means they went away. So it's hinting at the fact that when they made the Egel and Moshe came down from the mountain with the Luchos, the letters flew off. So now, on the mountain, Bahar, the Nevuv, the Luchos, ended up being emptied of their letters, Soru, and they moved away. They moved away. They from their place on the Luchos, and the Luchos were therefore left Nevuv empty. or a variation on that is the Jewish people themselves were left empty of mitzvahs as a result of that. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is using those words to symbolize that concept. Okay, talking more about the letters of the Aleph Beis, the Gemara says, Amri le'rabbanan le'Rabbi Shurban Levi. The Chachamim said to Rabbi Shurban Levi, Osu dardiki ha'idda le'Beis Medrash. Some children came today to the Beis Medrash, the Omru Mili, and they said such amazing things in Torah, da'afilu b'nei Yeshua ben Nun la'itma kavasayu. Even in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, such great deep secrets of Torah had not been said. Why are we saying Yeshua ben Nun's time? So Rashi, Marsha explains that, that again, since we just said before that at some point they forgot the order of which letters are supposed to be used in the middle of a word and which at the end, regular chaf versus lang chaf and so forth with all the other ones. So therefore, even in Yeshua ben Nun's time, they may not have known this enough to be able to dash in what these children are going to dash in about the significance of the order of the letters in the Aleph Beis. As opposed to in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, you couldn't say that because everything was known very clearly. In fact, Moshe refers to a Gemara in Masechet Tzmura that says that during the time when they were mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu, they forgot hundreds of halachas. So this may have been one of the halachas that they forgot at the time, which letters are supposed to be used in which places. So therefore, these children are saying something that even in the times of Yeshua ben Nun couldn't have been said. Tosfos, by the way, points out that there's a Yerushalmi in Masechta Megillah and also a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that tells the story as taking place, that places the story in an earlier period. The Yerushalmi and the Medrash says that one day it was a rainy day. The Chachamim hadn't come to the Beis Medrash because of the rain. So some children came there and they said, well, we can't have the Beis Medrash be without learning Torah. So let's make our own little children's Beis Medrash over there. And they started darshaning on the letters. And the Medrash and the Yerushalmi says, among those children were Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So they were little children at the time, and they grew up to be among the great Chachamim. So Tosfos says, evidently, those sources disagree with our Gemara over here, because our Gemara over here was placing these children and their Jerusha in the time of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who was generations later than Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The truth is, I mean, in those places, in the Medrash and the Yerushalmi, it mentions only that they darish in about the five regular letters and the five end of letters. Here, the Gemara is going to bring a Jerusha about each of the letters of the Aleph Beis. I'm not really sure why Tosfos considers it a contradiction. Maybe in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's times, they gave a Jerusha on the five pairs of letters, and then later on in Rabbi Yeshua and Levi's times, the children came up with Jerushas on all the letters. Whatever it is, Tosfos, by the way, also digresses to mention an interesting point. In Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, in the Midrash, in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and also in Ovid Sidav Nosen, it tells about how Rabbi Eliezer had not learned Torah when he was younger, and then when he was in his 20s, he felt very bad, and he was crying over the fact he wants to go learn Torah by Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai, and his father was trying to talk him out of it, and to make a long story short, he eventually runs away from home and joins Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai's yeshiva, different versions in these places, whether he was 22 or 28 at the time. Tosfos says, what do you mean? Based on that Yerushalmi and based on that Medrash, already when he was a little kid, he's in the Beis Medrash over there with Rabbi Yeshua and the other kids, and they're saying these amazing Jerushas on the letters. So Tosfos says, true. He did, it's not like he wasn't like Rabbi Akiva. He wasn't an Amoritz till he was older. But what we mean is he hadn't been learning Torah full time. Now, obviously, Rabbi Nosson and Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer are saying that up until then, he had learned Torah here and there. He's basically helping his father work their fields. Now, when he's in his 20s, he realizes, I want to learn Torah full time, and eventually goes and eventually joins Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai's Beis Medrash and does exactly that. Anyway. The drushes that these children said were as follows. They started with the letters. So let's talk about the order of the letters of the Aleph Beis. The first letters are Aleph Beis. That represents Aleph Bina. Aleph means to learn, and Bina means the understanding of Torah. So it means the first thing in the Aleph Beis is learn Torah. So Marsha explains, Talmud Torah connected Kulam, therefore that's why the Aleph Beis begins with underscoring that concept, and we'll call them Torah Bina, because Bina is higher than Chochmah, in the sense that Bina is when you're maven dover, mitot dover, not that you have to be spoon-fed everything, but rather that you can understand, you're given a concept, and you can deduce other concepts from that. So therefore, but you have to also learn that from your Rebbe. Don't think you can come up with it on your own, because you may go in the wrong direction. Learn that method of analysis from your Rebbe as well, and then you'll be able to learn Torah successfully. So therefore, the Aleph Beis begins with those words, Aleph Bina, with Aleph Beis representing Aleph Bina. Next, the next letters, Gimel Dalet, represent Gmoil Dalim, do chesed to poor people. Gmoil, like Milas Chasadim, and then Dalim are poor people. There's many places in Siddhas where it talks about the idea that the letter Dalet represents the poor person. First of all, the word Dal itself means poor. The word Dalet also is related to the word Deles, meaning that it doesn't have. So for all those reasons, anyway, in Basavagani, it's in many places, yeah. The idea is, in other words, Marshar explains, now you have Tzedakah and you have Gmilas Chasadim. Gmilas Chasadim is greater than Tzedakah, the Gemara explains elsewhere, because Gmilas Chasadim can be for rich people as well. So therefore, but nevertheless, it's still a greater Gmilas Chesed when you do it for a poor person, because after all, you do it for a rich person, you may do it with the expectation, I'll pay you back. When you do Gmilas Chesedim for a poor person, you don't have that expectation, so therefore that's a higher level of Gmilas Chesedim. And since we know, so therefore we're focusing over here on the two main pillars. First, Aleph Bina, which is the Torah, and then Gimel Dalet, which is Gmilas Chesedim. So then they continued analyzing. Let's look at the shapes of the letters. My time of koshet kare de gimel gabe dalet. Why is the leg of the gimel sticking towards the dalet? In other words, for example, Rashi explains, why is the gimel not written backwards of the way we see it? So that the front of it and the foot of it, so to speak, would be facing the bays. With that, so that's how Rashi learns. There are also post-Gimulun, the Beis Yosef mentions this, that it also means, it has another meaning as well, when you write the letter Gimel on a Sefer Torah, that little foot over there that's sticking out in front should be tilted a little bit upward. As the Gemara is saying over here, tilted upward a little bit towards the Dalet. So why is it written that way, rather than tilting downward or just written straight? The reason is, Shekem Dauta shall Goymo Chasadim Lorish Achre Dalim, because it's the way of the one who's doing Milas Chesed to run after the poor people, not just to wait for the poor people to come to him, but rather to run to do Milas Chesed for them. Maoshar refers to a Gemara in Sukkah that says the main schar of Milas Chasadim is the fact that the person not only does it, but that he puts an effort into it. So here, that effort is being represented by the gimel, so to speak, running after the dalet to do the chesed. Next, so my time of poshet carried the dalet legabe gimel. Why is the leg of the dalet facing towards the gimel? So Rashi explains again that it's facing towards the gimel. Again, conceivably, the letter dalet could have been written the other way around, with the leg of it on the side towards the hay. And again, there are poskim who learn that it also means, and Rashi seems to imply this also a little bit, that the leg of the dalet is not written straight up and down; it's tilted a little bit towards the right side of the letter in the direction of the gimel that's written before it. Why is that? Because the poor person should make himself available to the one who wants to do gemilas chasadim to him, rather than troubling the goymo chesed to run after him, he should make himself more available. He should make himself available. But my time mehader aped dalad the gimel. In that case, then why is the face of the dalad facing away from the gimel? The front of the open side of the letter is considered its face. So to speak, the dalet has its leg facing towards the gimel, but its face is facing in the opposite direction. Why is that? Delitin lebetzina. The reason is that the goymo chesed should be giving the poor person in privacy, so that he's not embarrassed of him. As we have, for example, the Rambam lists, when the Rambam lists the eight levels of tzedakah, which he collected from various gemaras, one of the highest levels is when you give the poor person and he doesn't know who he received from. As you have the example of Ma'ukva putting money by people's doorways and other examples like that. So the poor person never has to see the face of the one who's giving him the tzedakah. So to speak, the dalet doesn't have to see the face of the giver. Next. The children continued with their drasha. Hey Vav Zeshmoy Shalakarish Bohu. The next letters, Hey and Vav, represent Hashem's name. Rashi explains, like you have, we say in Hashinus, Ani Vahu Hoshiyana. So the Hey Vav, all by themselves, represent Hashem. Marshar explains specifically, there's the two letters out of Hashem's name that represent Chesed and Emes, where again, those go together with the two things that we said, Torah and Milos Hasadim, so therefore we're focusing on those two letters. And the next Jerusha, Zion, the next letters, the next six letters of the Aleph Bay is a Zion Ches Tes Yud Kof Lamed, those represent Imata Oisakein. If you do that, if you do Torah and Milsa Sadim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zon Oisla, then your schus will be that Hashem will feed you, the Zion represents that, V'chon Oisla, and Hashem will give you Chesed, U'metiv Lacha, and Hashem will give you good, represent which of the tests symbolizes that, V'noisa Lacha Yerusha, Hashem will give you an inheritance, the kosher lacha keser, and Hashem will tie a crown onto you. That's the chaf. La olam haba in olam haba. So therefore, the lamed represents that. Marsha refers to a gemara in Bava Kama that connects that with all gemara over here that says a person is osik in Torah and Mos Hasadim. He's zoicha to the inheritance of the two shvatim. He's zoicha to the grace of Yosef and the Torah of Yisachar. So therefore, so now we're saying this person did that. He's focusing on the Aleph Beis, the Aleph Bina, the learning the Bina of Torah, and on Gemil Chasadim, on the Gemil Dalim. Therefore, Hashem gives him the Zon Oyscha, like Yosef, who sustained others during his career, and Hashem gives you Chain as well, the Chain of Yosef. Hashem gives you good because of the Torah, and it gives you the Torah as a Yerusha, Merosha Kehilas Yaakov, and the crown of then the crown, which is the crown of Torah, that the person receives the Olam Haba. So therefore, that's the significance of those next six letters of the Aleph Beis. Eitz Yosef brings over here other points about it. Also, we know that the good that Hashem gives us can be summarized under the three headings of Bonei Chayim Zona, and therefore the various things that the Gemara is mentioning over here. Zon represents having children. Chon means that so Zon and Chon has to do with that you'll have children. That you'll have Toiv and Yerusha represents represents the next bracha, and that you have Kesel La'olam Haba represents the third one. And he goes into more arichos about that, about how each one represents one of these three things. Next, the next letters of the Aleph Beis are Mem Sucha Mem Sumer. You have an open Mem and then a closed Mem. That represents Maima Pasuach Maima Sosum. There's an open statement and there's a closed statement. Which means, it actually says, there are statements in areas of Torah that by all means go and teach them publicly. And then you have ones that you're supposed to hide and that you're supposed to close up and conceal. For example, Maisa Merkava. So Marshra gives another explanation also. We know among the Asara Ma'amores, you have nine of them are explicitly written in the Psukim, and then you have, there's the tenth one, the Gemara says, Bereshis Nami Maimahu, that even though it doesn't say, Vayomer of the Kim, Bereshis is also one of the Asara Ma'amores. So therefore, that is the Maimah Sosum, that's the more hidden one, that you need the Chachamim to explain that's a Maimah, and then all the other ones are more Posuach, they're more obviously open. It's interesting, by the way, that the Gemara, these children didn't darshan the regular chof and the laila chof. They're going to darshan for each of the other two, for each of the other double letters. They're explaining the regular letter and the regular one and the final one. They don't seem to have done that for chof. Maybe it has to, I haven't seen anybody who addresses that, but maybe the vote is, since they explained the chof represents keser, so we learned before, there are two psarim for Torah, Nasa and Nishma. So maybe therefore they didn't find the need to darshan that explicitly. Anyway. Then you have nun kfufa nun shuta. You have a bent nun and a straight nun. That represents neman kfuf neman poshut. You have the bent over neman, the trustworthy person, and then you have the straightened up one. So Rashi explains you have a neman, a person who is an odim kosher, an erlachigid. He has to be kfuf, he has to be bent over and humble in this world. In the end, in olam haba, he'll get to be poshut, he'll get to be straightened out from his bentness, because lo olam haba, then he'll be able to take his rightful role over there. Maoshah relates it also to a different point, that when a person is davening, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, he's supposed to be bowed down to a certain extent physically, but also emotionally and mentally before Hashem, to feel himself bowed. So therefore, but then the Gemara mentions over there another possibility, that maybe a person should be more straight up. Because after all, a person should be straight rather than crooked in front of Hashem. So here you have actually, so you have, and so then now you have a Gemara in Yevamos that says the proper posture for a person to daven should actually be a combination of both. He looks downward, but his mind is focused upward towards Hashem. So therefore, you have the poshut and the kofuf together. So therefore, we're representing that over here by the fact that you have the two forms of nun, to nun representing neman, and it represents this concept that you have the two ways of relating to Hashem. Next, Samach Ayin. The next letters of the Aleph Bay is Samach and Ayin. These children are saying they represent Smoich Aniyim, support the poor. So Marashal says, before we talk about doing milas chesed for them, which would be giving them money or helping them out in various ways, here we're talking about that it's also a matter of encouraging them verbally with brachas. As we have, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, the long sugya over there about tzedakah, and the Gemara mentions that if you give a pruta to a poor person and you get 6 brachas, and then if you also speak nice words to him, then you get another 11 brachas. So therefore, so now this part of the Aleph phase then is focusing on that aspect of milas chesedim. Loshen Acher, another version, is that the Samach Ayin represents Simonin, Aseva Torah, makes Simonin for the Torah to remember the orders of things, or who said what, or whatever. Rashi says you have Simonin like that all over Shas, for example, or Knei Oysa, and with that you will be able to acquire the Torah. That's another meaning of Samach Ayin. Then you come to Pei, Kfufa, Pei, Pshuta. You have the bent Pei in the middle of the word and the straight Pei at the end. So that represents Pi Pasuach, Pi Sosum. There's an open mouth and a closed mouth. So Rashi explains, Rashi relates this to a Gemara that we learned at the end of Brachas that says there are times when it's appropriate to go, to spread knowledge of Torah when you have the greater Chachamim than you are closing things up and they're not spreading Torah in public, then you have a responsibility to go and do Afatzas HaMayonis. That's the Peh Pasuach. On the other hand, when you have the greater people around, they themselves are spreading knowledge of Torah, then you close your mouth and you don't horn in on their territory. So that's the meaning that you have. Sometimes you have the open mouth, sometimes you have the closed mouth. Marsha relates it to a different point. The Gemara tells us in Nidda that the baby in the womb has his mouth closed, and there he's learning the whole Torah, and he can see everything that's going on in the world. Then when he's born, he forgets the Torah, and he opens his mouth. So therefore, in the womb, he's learning Torah only with his mind. Only be you, and only with his mind, but then he's not opening his mouth. But then when he's born, he has to start, he starts the stage of life where he's going to be learning Torah verbally. So therefore, that's, you have Peh Sosum, and then you have Peh Pasuach. You need both. You need to analyze the Torah, and you also need to speak it verbally. Then you have tzadik kuf of a tzadik pshuta, the regular tzadik and the law and the line of tzadik. That represents tzadik kuf of tzadik pshuta. You have the bent over tzadik and you have the straight tzadik. So if one asks, "Hainu neman kuf of neman pshuta?" Isn't that just repeating the same thing as neman? The neman meant the erlach yid, and the tzadik is the same thing. So Gemara says, yeah, hoisif for ha'kosif, prefal, prefasif. The written letters of the Aleph Beis are hinting to you that you have to have a bending on top of a bending. A person needs to be exceptionally humble. Ma'od ma'od evishfal ruach. Like it says in Pirkei Avos. Mikanshin, nitna Torah, but minoy grosh, we see from that the Torah was given with a bent head, meaning a person needs to have be'ema yira, be'resis, a vizia. A person has to have a fear of Hashem when he's learning Torah. So therefore, you have two sets of letters in the Aleph phase, the regular nun and the regular tzaddik that represent that concept. And the same thing when it comes to the other aspect of it, loyla mabba, or as Marashal is saying, the other aspect of it, when a person is davening, you also need to have a double dose of it. Okay, well, we'll continue the rest of this derasha tomorrow, Baz Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Geula, your test here. Says in the Medrash that the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the same thing, the Geula from Babel and from all the other Goliaths up to, but not including the Geula Lasid Lavoi, all of those were Geula Shigesh Acharei HaGolus. There was a Geula, but they're still followed afterward by another Golus. On the other hand, the Geula HaSidah is going to be an eternal Geula. There won't be a Golus after it. Now, why is that? Because the Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Medrash explains, is like a candle or like a lamp, which eventually goes out. The Geula HaSidah is going to be like the light of the day, which can't be put out. So therefore, that means the revelation of Elikus by the Geula HaSidah is going to be a revelation of an unlimited light, so it's impossible for it to cease. Therefore, it's going to be an eternal Geula, and there's no Geulas after it. Amen. Yeah. Continuing, halacha is about Birkas HaRi'iyah, brachas on things that you see. When you see Chama b'tkufasa, when you see the sun in its tkufa, which is every 28 years when tkufas nisan comes out on Tuesday night. So Wednesday morning, then you say the bracha oisamais bereshis. The last time was in 2009. The next time is scheduled to be in 2037, another 14 years from now. Before the bracha, you say then you say the bracha, and then you say keiladon, and then and then aleinu and kaddish. This is how he brings this is the order of Chassam Sofer set up. There's many different minhagim back in Tavshin Samach Tes, the last one they published a seder of it according to Minhag Chabad, which is somewhat different than this. For example, it doesn't include keiladon because that's supposed to be reserved only for Shabbos, and there's a number of other basically that Rebbe talked about in Tavshin Yud Gimel and Mem Aleph when they had Birkas Hachama that Rebbe explained that basically it should be modeled on Birkas on Kiddush Levana with the appropriate changes instead of saying Psukim and Ma'amar Chazal that have to do with the moon. Instead, you say appropriate ones that have to do with the sun. So it's somewhat akin to what it says over here in Tetzah Shulchan Aruch, but not quite the same thing. The Eved Shah should help that all of us will still be around for that 14 years from now and being able to say it.